Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Archives, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Happy Canada Day. How about that for a weekend? Man, oh man, I guess the storyline this weekend, the racing was hot. And if you're anywhere around Ontario, the mid part of the country, and I'm not sure how far east it went, how far west, but I'll tell you what, it's been smoking hot here in the province of Ontario. Temperatures like we haven't seen in a long, long time here in Ontario. A lot of great racing, though, over the weekend. Let me tell you, first of all, who we got coming on the show tonight. We're going to go off to the East Coast. That's where we're going to start. The number 53, Cole Butcher, part of that Alan Kowicki driver development program. Cole picked up his first win at Oyster Bed Speedway in PEI. It was the Parts for Trucks Tour, heading out to the island on the weekend. And just last night, Cole Butcher went to victory lane. Sounds like he had a real, real good battle going on with the number 5. Of Jonathan Hicken. Man, oh man, it sounds like the island guys were real fast in this race. But hey, it was Cole Butcher going to victory lane in that number 53. It's Cole's first win out there on the island. Second win of the season. And of course, Cole Butcher's got tons of wins. But this one here was a big one for him. And I know we're going to catch up with Cole here tonight on the program. And we'll get his take on how he enjoyed race number one out on the island. And I know the guys are going to make a second visit there this year. And we'll speak with Cole Butcher tonight. Moving a little bit back the west sort of way after leaving PEI, we'll stop in the province of Quebec, where the NASCAR Pinty Series got a chance to fly around Chaudière, Autodrome Chaudière. And it was Andrew Ranger, driver of the Mopar Dodge, the number 27 for DJK Racing. Andrew went to victory lane last night in what appears, I do believe, it was a rain-shortened event. They didn't lose many laps, if at all. But we'll check in tonight with Ange Ranger. his spotter, Joe Jr., of course, goes to Racetime Radio, isn't home just yet. He is en route. And on his way home from Quebec, you never know. Junior could jump on this program before the end of the night. But we'll be checking in with his driver tonight, Andrew Ranger. I believe, well, I know it's Andrew's first win of 2018 in the NASCAR Pinty Series. I don't know whether Andrew scored a victory last year or not. We'll check with him tonight. We'll also be joined tonight by a driver that won his first Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup race. Memorable night for Tim Tolton. This happened a couple of weeks ago. I know the guys ran Flamborough Speedway last night, and we got to put it out to Chad. He won in the 18 car. Chad McGlynn went to victory lane last night. We haven't got Chad lined up, but we do have Tim Tolton lined up that went to victory lane. It was like June the 16th. It was one of those times when we were out on the East Coast doing our live broadcast and didn't have the Sunday night show. But Tim Tolton went to victory lane on that Saturday night, and we're going to grab Tim tonight and revisit and find out what it was like to get his first win. The other guy we just may hear from tonight, and I can't say for sure, Kenny Wallace, of course, getting geared up and getting ready to go for the IWK 250 that's going to come up out at Riverside International Speedway. Any listeners to Racetime Radio know exactly what I'm talking about. The IWK 250 is one of those ultimate short track races here in Canada. And Kenny Wallace is our NASCAR star that's going to drive the Cat for Kids car in that race. And Kenny Wallace tonight, I believe, is lined up to race somewhere. He'll be behind the wheel of his dirt car somewhere. But I don't know what the weather is doing where he is and if we may be able to grab Kenny in between some of the heat races or you never know. They could have a rain delay or something like that. And if that is the case, then we're going to grab the Herminator and get him on the program. The IWK 250 comes up July. It's the weekend of July 12th through the 14th. The actual day, I believe, is the 13th for the IWK 250. It's a Saturday night. It's going to be a wild show this year. Kenny Wallace, along with all the stars of the Parts for Trucks Tour. You're also going to throw in there, how about J.R. Fitzpatrick? Guys like Jason Hathaway are going to be in the IWK 250. And I believe the driver's list at this point for the IWK 250 is sitting somewhere around 38 competitors right now, or it could even be a hair higher than that. And trust me when I say, drivers come from everywhere to try and make it into the IWK 250 and try and score that big victory at Riverside. It's truly an unreal race to go watch, and we will have live coverage for you of the IWK 250 and from Riverside. We'll probably even have some of the Friday night coverage where the sportsman cars will be on track for 150 laps. So it's going to be a big weekend, and we may be able to catch up with Kenny tonight. If we don't, next weekend definitely will be a key where we're going to definitely preview the IWK 250. But that's who we've got lined up. We've also got some clips from the truck race on the weekend, the Xfinity race, and how about that cup race today? Man, did you see the finish in that, baby? I can't wait till hour two. We're going to open the phone lines up and hear what you have to say about the finish to that cup race. Or maybe you've seen an outstanding race on the weekend, wherever your local short track is, and you may have been out. It would be great to hear from you tonight. We're going to do that in hour number two. But let's get to the hotline, and we'll bring in our first guest of the night. He went to Victory Lane at Oyster Bed Speedway in PEI, talking about the number 53, Cole Butcher. We got him on the hotline. Cole, what's going on? How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Hey, you hit pay dirt out there on the island. How was that race?
It was a good race. There was a lot of good cars. Jonathan Hicken, Dylan Blankmore, and Dylan Gosby. A lot of the locals and a lot of the guys you expect to run up front. So, I felt the race went really well. It was a competitive race, and put a good show on for the fans.
Ah, that's key. And I know you guys love doing that in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Cole, I was watching some of the practice times early in the day. Looked like Greg Proud, the number 29 car, looked like he had a rocket ship underneath him in practice number one. And Dylan Blankhorn, another one that was real quick in practice number two. I didn't happen to see where the 53 was. Were you right in there as well?
Yeah, we were around top six all day, I believe. We didn't have any short run speed. It took us a while to get up to speed. So, that's what matters. We couldn't lay down a lap like those guys. But we were able to be there at the end in the race. And we actually ran our fastest lap on one up. Lap 137, so I guess that shows you had a pretty good car in the long run.
Absolutely. Take us around that Oyster Bed Speedway. I've personally not seen it. What's it like as a racetrack? And take us for a lap around there. What's it like?
I really enjoy it. It's very smooth. It's really racy. Last night I kind of went to a middle groove racetrack, so it was hard to race, but me and Jonathan were able to put on a show, but really tight corners and lots of banking, so it's a mix between like a Scotia and Petty, just a tad bit smaller, but it's probably my number one favorite track, and I like going to VEI, I like the people, and the facility is great.
Yeah, I've seen one photo, I believe it was of Kent Vincent's car. The potato guy showed up, of course, he's got the potato board as a supporter on his number eight car. I couldn't help but notice the red clay everywhere. That place is just, that potato red clay is everywhere.
Yeah, it is. That's what PEI is, all that red clay. It'll get on your clothes and it never comes out. But, it's one of the good things about PEI. They have they like their potatoes, that's for sure. And Kent Vincent, they are the PEI potato sponsor. So they had the mascot there for the fans. And I think all the kids enjoyed it.
Gotta love it. Now, what was the crowd like? It looked pretty good in the photos. Was it as good as what it looked in those photos? Lots of people out?
Yeah, between the campground and the bleachers, when I was looking around in the back stretch seemed full, and the front stretch seemed full. So PEI, they always bring a crowd. They got those guys like racing, and we're glad we could put on a show for them. But every year we seem to get a better crowd. So hopefully the next race we go there in the middle of the season we'll have even more people.
Yeah, you got to love it. We're with Cole Butcher tonight, driver of the number 53, part of that Kawicki Driver Development Program. How's that all coming along this year, Cole?
Oh, it's going well. We have three wins under our belt right now. And, we've been doing a lot of community service between Autism Walks and the Make-A-Wish Foundation and just a lot of different things. But so far, so good. We have a couple more races coming up that will help us towards the Kawicki Driver Development Program, and then we have a couple other events coming up, so we should be good, and hopefully we'll be at the top of that at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, hard work's going to do it, Cole, and I know you and the 53 crew have been knocking it out this year. Your second win of 2018, and with the guys you're racing against, it's pretty hard to get one win, let alone two of them. And, man, you almost scored a third one at Riverside. It looked like one car going across the line, the 53 and the 0. You can't get any closer than that, man. It's you got to say that you got more than two wins, but just not quite three, right?
Yeah, that's right. If you include the past win, we have three, but for the first dog, we only have two. So we'll see what we can do at Riverside in 2 weeks' time. Hopefully we can get that win back. We have a really good car this year, and so did everybody else. The field's very strong. This year has got stronger in the years past. So we'll do our homework, as the same with everybody else, and we'll hopefully come out strong at the IWK 250.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. That's the next race for you guys. Now, what do you got to do to the race car? Is it clean from last night with the wind? Do you got any damage to fix up on it? Or what's the next 2 weeks look like for you leading into that IWK 250?
Well, just body panels. Me and Jonathan were racing her rubber doors, so we've got some vinyl, a couple doors to replace, but I'm racing Spud Speedway on Tuesday with the pass car, so I might be bringing that one to the IWK 250, so I'm not really sure what my next 2 weeks have in plan until after Tuesday night.
Well, I know you guys will be working on it all the way through. The notebook's got to be looking good, though, for that IWK 250. I know it was a 150 the last time we were there, and we stretch it out now to that extended distance of 250 green flag laps. Do all those notes apply, Cole, or do you got a whole different set that you pull out for the IWK 250?
Well, I might be bringing a whole different car that's never been there before, so I don't really have any notes for that. But if that doesn't work on the Thursday night, I'll go back to my other car, and I know what we have to change to make it just a little bit better for the 250. But honestly, I won't really know until after Thursday night practice what we're going to do. So hopefully we'll come out of the trailer strong, but if not, I have something to go back on.
I can well imagine you're going to be one to keep your eye on in that IWK 250. Just amazing watching the progression of your team. From the time you guys fired up a few years ago into what we're seeing today is truly remarkable to watch. You got to be one of those guys to keep your eye on. Cole, whereabouts are you headed? The Parts for Trucks Tour is where you're, firmly implanted right now. What's the future look like for Cole Butcher? You got any plans of heading south and maybe getting into the NASCAR stuff?
We'd like to do maybe a couple of truck races next year, but we haven't really talked about it. I just went through school last year, and I'm kind of taking over my father's business one day, so it's kind of hard to balance work and play when work takes over. But, I like racing supers down with Donnie Wilson, so I'll do a couple more races with them at the end of the year, and then we'll see what happens over the winter. But we talked about doing some truck races, but honestly, we just played as it goes.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Nope.
You're doing what you love doing, and you're doing a real good job at it. Just amazing to watch you guys. And I know that big race coming up. is just another one that you've got to have circled on the calendar. And how about the 54, your brother, Jared? How did he make out on the island yesterday? He's been running pretty good. He's catching you, man.
Yeah, I think he got ninth. He got a little body damage, but nothing you can fix. But he's still making progress. You know, it's only their second year in the tour, so it's just baby steps. I can do as much as I can to help him. But you know, he'll learn just as well as I did. But no, they're making baby steps, and he'll be there. He'll be there eventually.
How about setup-wise, the 53 to the 54, are they drastically different? Does Jarrett like a different car, or is that maybe one of your cars from last year? What's the deal with the 54?
He has a brand new. It was new last year. It's the same car as my distance racing chassis. So, we usually go with identical setups, and we're fairly close at the end of the night, honestly. But, some things he likes and some things I like. So, we just swap between notebooks and mix and match a little bit.
Well, I can bet that he'll have your notebook, and he'll be reading it every single night with the success you guys are having. It's just awesome. Cole, PEI, you guys go back there one more time. With the win now, you got to be looking forward to going back to Oysterbet as well.
Yeah, I love that racetrack, and I love the people there. So we have some more notes to go back with there, and I hope it'll be just a tick better, but... we go to PEI twice, and that's great because we have so many PEI cars that run with our tour, so it's always good to support that community. But, we'll see what happens, but I think we have something for them again.
I wouldn't doubt it. Social media-wise, you guys are connected real well. You can follow along on Twitter. How about Facebook? Do you guys spend a lot of time on your social media stuff?
Yeah, we have Facebook and we have Twitter. I don't really use Twitter a lot. It's kind of all connected, so it's you can check out Butcher Racing Facebook and then my personal account and Instagram, but my girlfriend is close to that, so you can just check us out on Facebook and everything's tied in with that.
Perfect. Well, we'll definitely do that. We'll keep our eye on you, and I look forward to seeing you at Riverside here in just a couple of short weeks for the first 250 of the season. Can't wait, brother.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You want to believe that's Cole Butcher, driver, the number 53 in that Parts for Truck Tour. Man, we still got a problem with our phone line. We've been trying everything. I've had Bell looking at it and trying to get things sorted out. The lines out this way are just junk, I guess. I've switched equipment. We've pretty well done everything we can, but I know we got Doug Gonder. He is trying to track stuff down for us. But great to hear from Cole Butcher tonight here on Race Time. And that 250, trust me when I say, if you're anywhere close to Nova Scotia, you want to make your way to Andy Ganish, Nova Scotia, and that Riverside International Speedway. Even if I don't care where you're from, if you got holidays or you got the way to get a little bit of a break, you got to make a break for Riverside and catch the IWK 250. This year is going to be it's going to top last year, and that's pretty tough to do. But I can guarantee you that's exactly what we're going to see this year. For those that can't make it, we'll have you covered. We will have live coverage here on Race Time Radio. And good news is even Josh Paxton's going to be able to join us for that live broadcast. Josh, we got to congratulate Josh and Diane Paxton. Had a new baby boy just early this morning. And mom and the baby, everybody's doing good. We just want to congratulate the Paxton family. And, man, Jerry is a grandfather again. Imagine that. Oh, man. So, some good stuff right there. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk NASCAR Pinties. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to do it with the winner of last night's race from Chaudière, Quebec. We got Andrew Ranger is going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment to continue tonight's program. Stay with us.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best of Race Time Radio.
Whatever gets you through the night.
from coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam, heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win. Saturday, July 14th, it's Canada's ultimate short track race, the IWK 250. Live from Riverside International Speedway, Antigonish, Nova Scotia, featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour, with special guest, NASCAR driver and Fox broadcaster Kenny Wallace.
Class is awesome. It's a lot like a Bristol. Here I come. I'm ready to go. The stars have aligned, and I'll be riding home on the highway.
And Ontario Invaders, J.R. Fitzpatrick and Jason Hathaway. Live coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, July 14th. It's the IWK 250. It's all live, worldwide, on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Baseball. Baseball. Every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio to go. Streaming live or on demand. Grab the free app at racetimeradio.com. Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight here on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Happy Canada Day to one and all right across the country. Man, there was a lot of great racing this weekend. And our next guest is Andrew Ranger. But we're gonna run some of these clips first, and we'll have Andrew up in just a few minutes. But I do want to talk to you about the truck race and highlight some of those particular highlights from the race. It was Brett Moffitt going to victory lane, and he was running along, and it kind of looked like John Hunter Nemechek was going to win this race at Chicagoland, and something happened to John Hunter. But you know what? It was Brett Moffitt going to victory lane. Here's what Brett had to say in the media center after the race. Here he is.
I had a really good run on him down the front stretch, and I don't know if he had started blowing up or not. But I kind of committed to a move of kind of like what Noah Gregson did to me at Iowa, where I was going to drive in on the bottom and hold it wide open and try to cut off his run. And then as soon as I dove in there, the spotter mentioned that I was clear by two and then three, and then he's like, something's wrong, just back it down, take it easy, no one else is coming. So it worked out really well for us, and we've certainly lost a few races I think we should have won this year due to racing circumstances, and that's why you race the checkered flag.
Absolutely. That's exactly what you got to do. You can't lift, right? It's like in baseball where you see the guy, you know, take a swing at the ball and he makes contact, kind of looks like it's going to be an infield throw out, you know, and the guy sort of trots down and somebody drops the ball, and lo and behold, he could have been safe. And because you didn't run, look at that, you're an easy out. And that's exactly what Brett's talking about there. You never lift, always stay in it, and keep the race going. And that's precisely what he did, paid dividends, and he didn't lose this one. Good race for Brett Moffitt. Finishing up this race second, got to put it out to Elba Ben Rhodes. That Thor Sport bunch, with the new changeover this year into the Fords. They've really had their work cut out for them, but they're coming, and it's looking really good. Ben Rhodes ends up with a second-place finish this weekend. Here's what he had to say in the media center.
Yeah, that was a little up and down. This track has changed so much since last year. It's really lost a lot more grip, and it's become a lot bumpier, more difficult to pass. And then with the new splitter rule, it's made it a little bit more difficult as well. So it's just been, it was an up and down race for us. We made a bad move in the beginning. The track went through this major swing. I actually almost thought I had a tire going down because I'd never seen a track go through such a swing from, you know, sunshine on the track to dark. And supposed to be gaining grip, but it just got really, really loose and then finally tightened back up. So I don't know if that was, you know, just the track, the age on the track or what it was, but it was definitely new to me. So we got ourselves a little behind, making an adjustment a little prematurely, I think. But we righted the ship. We came back from it. It's just good to finally have a good finish because we've been having probably the world's worst luck here lately. I thought I was going to get struck by lightning when thunderstorms started rolling through Louisville, Kentucky. Luckily, I didn't. But now it seems like things are finally just starting to go our way a little bit. It's very rewarding because our guys have been working so hard at Thor Sport Racing, 70, 80 hours a week, just, you know, 7 in the morning to 8, 9 at night at times. And, you know, I know it's rewarding for them. Our new pit crew we have on board, it's rewarding for them. And Ford, they've been helping us out a lot through these issues we've had and trying to figure out what's been going on. And very thankful for that, to help, you know, have their support to write our program.
Gotta love it when a plan comes together. And like I say, Thor Sport, what else can be said about Thor Sport Racing? You know, Matt Crafton in there, and you got guys like Grant Enfinger and Ben Rhodes. And they've got so many good guys, so many good teams formulated, and the success is all starting to come. You know, that manufacturer change. Sometimes, you know, we stand back and look at it as, oh, it's just a body change. There's nothing, you know, no big deal around it. Man, I'll tell you what, these guys are working hard at it. There's a lot to a changeover, and the results are going to be coming for these guys. You can see it, and it's all good to see. Finishing up the race third, a guy that's been real quick this year, and Johnny Sauter has had his share of wins. Johnny come home in the third spot. Someone in the media center asked Johnny if he was trying something new, maybe, now that he's going to be in the chase, you know, for sure he's going to be in. And here's what Johnny had to say about it.
No, I mean, honestly, we're still trying to continue to do what we've been doing all year. Tonight we just had a couple miscues. The last pit stop, the jack broke, and so we lost this, you know, track position. Obviously, we had a really good ISM Connect Chevy on the short runs. Speed was there. I was really looking forward to that last run. If I could have just even maintained and just restarted third, I thought we could have had something for him, because our stuff would fly around the bottom. So but no, right now we're just continuing to go to the racetrack like we normally would. I'd say maybe we had a little different stuff in the back this weekend that, you know, we probably maybe wouldn't have ran if it was playoff time, but nothing radical.
Good run for Johnny. It's going to be an interesting season, you know, getting on those mile and a half tracks. And you can see the success that these guys are having. And Johnny Sauter is one that if he isn't the favorite, I don't know who is when you look down through the trucks. Let's have a look at some of the results here. We got, you know, Johnny Sauter finishing third. You just heard from him. In fourth spot, how about Noah Gregson in the 18 truck? That's where he rolled in. Fifth spot was Brandon Jones, so a good run for Brandon. Sixth spot, the 24 of Justin Haley. Back to seventh was the 8 of John Hunter Nemechek. Eighth spot, Grant Enfinger. We heard from Grant just a couple of weeks ago here on Racetime Radio. The ninth spot, Austin Hill in the 02 truck. Tenth spot was Matt Snyder. In 11th spot, how about old two-time Matt Crafton in the 88 truck. Back to the 12th spot, Cody Coughlin. In 13th spot, Austin Wayne Self. 14th spot was Justin Fontaine. In 15th spot, it was Bomastis. In 16th spot, back to Todd Gilliland. 17th was the 3 truck of Jordan Anderson. 18th spot, Corbin Forrester. 19th spot, how about this? The 52 of Stuart Friesen, a Canadian guy. 20th spot was Dalton Sargeant. 21st was Josh Reume driving the 33 truck. 22nd spot was the 49 truck. The 23rd spot was Max Tillman. 24th, Jennifer Jo Cobb to the 25th spot. The 90 truck crossed the line. The 26th spot was the 15 of Ross Chastain. 27th spot was Bailey Curry. 28th spot was Joe Nemechek. Back to 29th was J.J. Yaley. And Norm Benning, look at that, 31st spot was Norm Benning. Mike Harmon was the 32nd spot. And that's how the trucks all shook out. If you want to see some truck racing, don't forget, CTMP is going to be where you're going to want to head. Coming up in August, tickets are on sale now for the Silverado 250 weekend at CTMP. I believe this is the 5th annual, or it could be the 6th annual, but that race is coming up. You want to get your tickets for that event, get to CTMP. They get a lot of great races this year, and definitely the Silverado 250 weekend is one of those ones. And how about this? We got Junior in the studio. Junior, you made it back. Man, what a weekend for you.
Quebec is far away. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah. Man, that was a fun weekend, but we're back.
Yeah, good deal.
Yes, definitely.
Experiencing Victory Lane with the number 27. We got Andrew still to come here.
Yeah.
What was that like, man? It's got to be a wild, wild weekend.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Of course, rain shortened, you know, kind of takes the luster away from the win, but a win is a win. And we celebrated pretty good. And I tell you what, his Rangers team and DJK Racing, they've got something special going on right now.
It
was neat. I don't think we were the best car overall there. I think LP had a very fast car. But they just, you know, made the right adjustments in the break, and Ranger drove his tail off.
I seen one of your notes. Andrew Ranger is the wheel man on the high side.
Oh yeah, it was the ugliest line you've ever seen at a short track.
Really?
And man, did it make time.
Really?
It was really cool. It kept the tires underneath the car, and he was able to point it up off the corner, and it was a lot of fun to watch. It was something unorthodox, and obviously Ranger is notorious for running the outside lane at a racetrack.
Right.
He does it, you know, amazing at auto clearing or at Wyant Group Speedway.
Right.
Out in Saskatoon, he did a great job when they raced at Sunset Speedway. Always ventured out to the top lane, and he's always been notorious for being a good restarter from the outside lane.
Right.
And we even seen it at Jukasa where Ranger kind of ventured out to the top side and actually made some passes and made some ground up, which is unheard of at that racetrack, just simply because it's a one lane, one groove racetrack.
Right.
At Autodrome Chaudière, he's very, very smooth. And the racetrack has got a lot of banking to it. So it was so conducive to him being out on the top lane, higher than he's ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, if there was three grooves, he was in the fourth groove. Towards the end of the race. And it was neat. You'd see, you know, other guys try it. Even DJ Kennington tried it. LP was trying it for a little bit. Even Donald Teige as well. And they'd try it for two laps and they'd lose, you know, 0.2 of a second and then just drop to the bottom and make up ground again.
Right.
So it was neat. The race weekend overall, I tell you what, Whitey and, you know, the entire group, with the 27 car and the 17, they work together.
Yeah.
Right. And they're so cool.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Of course, Andrew's first win since 2016. So, the emotions were high and his entire family was there.
Oh, cool.
His dad, his mom, and, you know, his girlfriend and his son and his sisters. And it was really cool.
Good time.
And the crowd, the Quebec motorsports community is by far and, you know, hands down, the most passionate group.
Vocal bunch, right?
Vocal bunch, you know, high energy, you know, oohs and ahs in the crowd with moves on the racetrack and things like that. Just a neat atmosphere and a huge crowd. I bet there was 5,000, 6,000 people in the grandstands there. It was cool.
Gotta love it. Well, we're going to talk more about the NASCAR Pinty Series coming up here on Race Time. But great to have you back in the studio. I was burning, man. I trying to do a show by myself here. I can tell you what, the listeners out there be going, good, Junior's in the studio.
I was trying to get back here in time. And,
well,
and,
you've been burning it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Last night, you know, we indulged a little bit and had some fun, and we got on the road, you know, I guess about 8:30 and drove, you know, all day. We stopped once.
Right.
And with the intention of being back here for, you know, 6:30.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It just didn't. It wasn't in the cards.
Well, you did great.
Sorry for being late.
Great to have you back here. We're going to take a quick break. When we do come back, we're going to grab Andrew Ranger. We're going to talk to him about last night, get his take on the victory, and we're going to do that in just a couple of moments. So stay with us here on Race Time. So glad you could tune in tonight. We'll be back. Stay there.
Race fans, it's the 82 Fortino's Dodge, Dave Conley from Ottawa, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. Check us out at a local school. Go to fuelforkids.ca.
The heat is on the street.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Canada Talks.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning man.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
It's the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, ensuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win. Saturday, July 14th. It's Canada's ultimate short track race, the IWK 250. Live from Riverside International Speedway in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour, with special guest, NASCAR driver and Fox broadcaster Kenny Wallace.
Track is awesome. It's a lot like a Bristol. Here I come. I'm ready to go. The stars have aligned, and I'll be riding home on the highway.
And Ontario Invaders, J.R. Fitzpatrick and Jason Hathaway. Live coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, July 14th. It's the IWK 250. It's all live, worldwide, on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's
Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. How about that for a hot weekend? Anybody here in the province of Ontario knows what I'm talking about. Man, was it a cooker. It sounds like it even was in Quebec, Junior.
Oh, yeah, it was for sure. And even down in Chicago for the Cup Series
guys. Yeah.
The heat index all weekend long was, you know, in the 109, 110 range. And
How was it for the Pindies guys? Were they cooking in those cars? They had to have been.
Yeah, they were. So, we worked through practice, practice was very hot for the guys, and we even did some air duct changes and stuff just to get Andrew a little bit more comfortable in the car and allow a little bit more airflow in. And by the sounds of it, there was a lot of teams doing the same thing,
right?
Just trying to get cool air to their drivers and it was interesting because after practice, and qualifying, the rains came down between that time.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Into the race. And
cooled just off for a moment.
No,
I bet.
It didn't. No,
it heated you back up.
Yeah. So it elevated the humidity level to like 100%. Right.
Wow.
And the heat was still there. It was incredible. But definitely a very warm weekend and under that red flag at the end when it started to rain, that's when all the drivers started to barbecue inside those cars and they needed to get out of those things because they were just baking in there. It was quite the event and definitely warm, the warmest one of the year so far. And I don't expect anything less from Toronto and all the different ones.
Yeah, incredible. Let's get to the hotline now, and we'll bring in that winner of the NASCAR Pindies race at Chaudière, Quebec. Let's welcome in driver of the 27 Mopar Dodge, Andrew Ranger. What's going on, buddy? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Fantastic. How about you?
Yeah, very good. It's been a very fun night last night, and we won in front of our sponsor, family, friends, and it was an awesome night.
Well, you got to love it when a plan comes together, Andrew, and it sounds like you guys were quick all day long, and it's a track that you just love racing on.
It's a really nice short track there at Chaudière. It's small track, a nice little banking, and I was trying to stay on the bottom, you know, throughout that run there, and my spotter and my crew chief told me, you have the car to stay on the bottom, but it was not the case, you know, I find a groom on the outside, and it worked for us, very happy, the guys did a really good job, and I worked really hard there on the outside, and we finally have our first win with the new Mopar Hendrick, so very happy about that.
Yeah, it's been a little bit coming, Andrew. Now, you're no stranger to Victory Lane, but we've got to look all the way back to 2016 to see your last win. It's got to feel good to get that monkey off your back, and now another win. Going to build a little bit of momentum for you now.
It is. You know, it's we have a little bad luck at Montfort, the contact we have with Lacroix, so we lost a lot of points there, but we definitely came back in the championship, and I think right now we were third, but 7 points behind Dumoulin, so it's awesome. We're back. We're going in Toronto next race, and after this is the two race at in West, so very exciting about the Mopar team, and we are there, so this is awesome.
Hey, Andrew, when we get to Toronto, don't go to the outside on us, okay?
Unless
it starts raining.
No, I would not go outside there, definitely.
Man, I tell you what, Andrew, you turned a lot of heads. Obviously, you've done, you know, a very similar job at Chaudière and been fast throughout the race, the past three showings there. But this time here, it seemed like you and Whitey made some great adjustments in the break, and that car really came to life. Is that the case?
Yeah, it was. You know, the first 150, like you saw there, I was trying to work my line, try different lines, and save my stuff. And at the end of that 150, there were. I said I was feeling very comfortable and with the high groove, And when we came on the pit, we adjusted. The Whitey, my crew chief, did a really good job. Adjusted the car really well. And I tell him what to do, and he definitely did a really good job. And we right after the green flag, we had that lead. So we keep it, and we finished with our first win this year. So it was awesome.
We're with Andrew Ranger tonight. He went to Victory Lane at Autodrome Chaudière just last night in Quebec. The NASCAR Pindy Series, and Andrew, long gone are the days where, you know, you got Andrew is the road course specialist, and now he's got to go on ovals. It's going to be easier to get Andrew Ranger on an oval. All those days are gone now. It don't matter what configuration the racetrack is for you, right?
Exactly. The competition is so hard in the Pindy Series, and the guys did a really good job during the winter to give me a really good car, prepare the car. So we jump in Jukaza, we qualify on the pole, we finish first, but we all know that we have a better car than that, and we won there and showed here. So we have a good car, all won in road course, and I think we have everything to win the championship this year.
Hey, Andrew, you've been in the Pinty Series a long time. You've had, you know, numerous wins and championships, and you've done a wonderful job through that time. But looking at this weekend's practice times and even into qualifying times, well, not necessarily qualifying, but mainly practice times, have you ever seen it where the top 10 or the top 9 cars are within, you know, a tenth of a second before? Like, it was incredible this past weekend.
Yes, exactly, and I'm happy about it, and it's not a surprise, because when you look at the top 10, you know, it's there are definitely good drivers. Every weekend where we race together, it's I'm not shy to say that I race in the Pinty Series. You know, we have Tagliani, Camilin, LP Dumoulin, the brother Dumoulin. You know what? Those guys are awesome. They're good drivers. So it makes the competition hard, and I really like that. Like you said, that the top 10 were in the same 10, you know? So it was awesome to see, and I think the fans have a definitely a good show last night.
So you guys head off now to the Honda Indy Toronto weekend. It's the Pinty's Grand Prix going to take place on the Saturday of that July weekend. What's the thoughts heading into Toronto? I know you've won there. You've won there probably more than once. I was there the one time you won. What's the thoughts heading into Toronto and getting back onto the streets?
Toronto streets, definitely one of my best racetracks. You know, it's technical, fast, short corner, very, very tough. You know, it's not easy to race there, and I think that's why I like that. And it's like the Grand Prix of Trois-Rivières. You know, it's both the same, not the same course, but it's same difficulty. And I very feel comfortable there normally. And I normally have a fast car, because last year we qualify on the pole. We have a fast car there. We have a contact with Tagliani. But overall, it was, we all know that we can do well. And it's going to be very important on Toronto to finish good and to exit there with, I don't know the lead in the championship, but to finish well so we can go west and do well there, you know.
Well, it's pretty hard to avoid contact, right? When you're talking, like, you get the top 10 guys and probably more when you get more cars in the field. When you guys are that close, it's pretty hard to avoid contact when everybody's going pretty well the same speed.
Yeah, it's competitive, and, you know, I think everybody can do well there too, so... it's awesome, and I think the Mopar car is fast, and we proved last night that we can fight in the championship and for the lead. So it's awesome. I think we have a good team. Everybody work hard, and the 27 Mopar car, you know, I want to put that number in the top, you know, in the championship. So this is my goal.
Well, you're well on your way, man. Great to see you back in Victory Lane, and your old stomping grounds. Is Chaudière one of the tracks that you used to go to as a kid, or did you used to race there before Pindy's? Maybe not. Maybe we lost
him. I think we lost him.
I think we did. Oh, there he is. He's back.
Yeah, the line caught a little bit.
Okay. Andrew, is Chaudière one of those places that you used to race at before Pinty's came around?
Can you repeat that? The line caught. Sorry.
It's cutting out on you. You know what? It's our beautiful Bell lines. Is Chaudière a track that you used to race at before the NASCAR Pinty Series started going there? Is that one of your old home tracks?
If I understand what you just said, if Chaudière, whatever the track, my favorite track or something like that. But
is Chaudière a track that you raced at before, Andrew, before the Pinty Series? Did you go there and race late models or anything like that?
I understand. Sorry, yeah. No, Chaudière, no, definitely not. It's Chaudière. It's a track that they built like not long time ago on the asphalt. But no, the first time I raced there, it's definitely in the NASCAR Pinty Series. I raced there 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in the late model race. But no, it was my first time there when they. We go there with the NASCAR, you know, I think 4 years ago.
Yep.
Well, you got to love it when a plan comes together. Good to see you back in Victory Lane, Andrew. And I know when you hit Toronto, it's going to be a pretty special time.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
You want to believe it. That's Andrew Ranger, driver of the 27 Mopar Dodge. Dynamite job. You guys sound like you had a good time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was I'm sick of saying inside at your quarter. That's one thing for sure. I'm just kidding. It was a lot of fun. So cool to watch Andrew, you know, get up top, and everybody commented on it. It was you know, when the TSN broadcast comes out, definitely watch it. It was cool. It was cool to say the least. Just to see what he can do, the car control that he has, and really the creativity that he has to create speed. He basically drives it in up top just as deep as everybody would on the bottom, but then pivots the car and is able to get drive off you know, it's kind of the secret to get around there.
How was qualifying done?
Just single car.
Single car run.
Yeah, single car run, and LP Dumoulin, man, he laid down a lap.
It was really surprising,
and it shouldn't be surprising, but Kerry Mix laid down a lap. And, you know, they set it up from fast time to, you know, the fastest guy in practice was last to go out. You know, the slowest guy in practice was the first to go out. Kerry Mix, you know, he rolled out, I believe, like seventh or eighth. And he laid down a two and
wow.
And a 13-2 around this little joint. And it was fast. It was the fastest time of the day. And, you know, up to that point. And, you know, there were still some fast cars to come. And it held up, like, all the way through until LP rolled out there and did a 1-9.
Wow.
You know, to see Kerry Mix, you know, he's had such a tough year. That 02 car has had such a tough year getting to this point. To see him go out there and put the thing on the outside pole, it was really cool. And he had a great race as well. So, you know, for us, we qualified third with a low three, and it was a good lap, but it had nothing on what LP had on the bottom, and it was just overall, you know, tight. You know, the entire field, like we were saying, the top 10 was separated. It was in the same 10th,
really.
You know,
yeah.
In practice. And you never see that.
Well, I seen Tagliani. I seen a tweet, I do believe, where Tagliani started like 13th yesterday.
Yeah, they struggled. They struggled
they
big
have.
Time. Yeah,
because usually Tags is really quick there.
Yeah. He got a little bit of damage in the race, so it's not indicative of where he could have finished. He had some speed in the race. But they definitely struggled very hard in practice and even into qualifying as well. And really a surprise that he struggled that much.
Hmm.
You know, there must have been a gremlin somewhere in that car because they you know, I figured they were going to be a top five car.
Right.
You know, the rest of the 22 camp was very fast. So they'll go back to the drawing board for sure on that one and, you know, look for him to be real tough when we roll into Toronto anyhow.
Well, I seen Steckley tweet from there, and I guess his two cars were running 1-2.
Yeah.
For a little while there. Donald Teach was right up there.
In in practice.
Was it in practice?
In practice, they were Marc-Antoine Cameron was the fastest guy in practice with a very low 3.
Wow.
And then as well, Donald Teige was right there. You know, followed by Lacroix, he was up there. He found a little bit of speed. I believe he was in the top 4. And LP as well. So rounded out by, I believe it was the 17 and then the 27. We were 6th quick in practice, but we were all in the 3s, all the way down to like 9th. So it was really cool. Overall, Chaudière, Quebec. It's in Valley Junction, Quebec. But Autodrome Chaudière is a very cool racetrack. And I urge anybody to go take a look at that. Even their weekly series. They had probably
they're a NASCAR
20
track.
Yeah, they're a NASCAR wheeling track. They had probably 20 late models, and they're similar to an ACT car. I don't know whether they're ACT legal or what they are. I don't know all the specifics, but they, you know, are the 400 horse late model, crate late model style cars, and they had a beautiful car count. They put on some great racing. And as well, they had the mini stocks and street stocks there as well. So, man, it was a full night of racing, and there was definitely lots of action for the fans.
Yeah, gotta love it when that all comes together. Too bad the rain come down and pulled things back. I know you guys were doing the rain dance, probably.
Yeah, definitely. When you know it was more intense. Whitey and I joked around on Channel 2 after it rained and the drivers were allowed to get out of the car, you know everybody. Everybody was kind of on edge because it stopped raining immediately. Like, it just came down in buckets.
Boosh.
You know, it was 100% humidity. It was close to, I'm guessing, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. You know, obviously no more sunlight, none of that. So they're out there trying to dry it off.
They're
just smearing the water around. You know, Whitey goes, they're not going to get this thing in, are they? Like, are they going to try? And I was like, I don't know, man. And I'm asking the NASCAR official, like, are we trying to do this? Like, what's happening? And they're like, they were tight-lipped. So, you know, it probably took us, I'm guessing 45 minutes to get the call of that it is official and canceled.
Right.
You know, all the spotters are gathered in the, up in the beer garden not in the beer garden.
I was going to say, hold on a minute. You guys, you would have been right in your element. Hey, this is good.
But, you know, there was a big covered awning there. So we were all just kind of hanging out, waiting for the call. And you know, when it finally came down, it was pretty cool. But, it was on hold for so long. It was so tense. Being the leader, like, there's a whole new respect now for a crew chief when they're sitting, you know, during a cup race or during a NASCAR touring race or whatever, where they're waiting for the call, you know, that the race is official.
Right.
It was definitely intense, and we were doing the rain dance for sure.
Yeah, incredible. We're getting real close to the top of the hour here. Got to throw it back to Toronto. Get you up to date on your news and highlights. It's only going to take like 90 seconds, and then we'll be back for hour 2 here tonight on Racetime Radio. We got Tim Tolton still to come up.
Nice.
Won his first Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup race. Got to go back one race to tell you, but we're going to get him on here tonight. Chad McGlynn won last night at Flamborough Speedway. But we got lots to talk about in hour number 2. We're also going to have time tonight to open the phone lines up and to take your calls. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So many good races this weekend. Canada Day. APC was on the racetrack at Delaware. We'll talk about that. Just a ton of stuff still to come on tonight's program. But we'll throw it back to Toronto, do that quick news update, and then Junior and I will be back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on. Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing! The race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Boom. And just like that, hour number two begins tonight. Happy Canada Day, Canada. And happy 4th of July is coming up for our U.S. listeners, but we'll kick it in. 151 years old is what Canada is today. And what a weekend.
What was it like when it was founded?
It was probably that was an old the
joke.
Same.
That was an old joke.
Was it?
Yeah, I was calling you old there.
Oh.
I was calling you 150 years old.
Oh, really?
How about that? That's
yeah.
nice. Eh?
Well, you see, I'm so
senior.
Old, that went right over
Joe,
my head.
Joe Senior.
Yeah. too funny.
Hey, I gotta say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Autodrome Chaudière.
Yeah. Oh, before you say it, I just want to let everybody know. We're going to open the phone lines right now. So
yeah, open
888-572-2384 is our hotline number. I'll give it to you again. 888-572-2384. And topics are all wide open. As long as it's racing, we'll talk about it tonight. So there you go. Give us a call. But
trust
go ahead.
Me,
now
topics,
you go ahead.
Topics are wide open at this point. Because
oh,
this
there's
story
a lot
here,
of them.
This story here.
Yeah.
Have you ever peed outside in the middle of a fairground?
Never done that.
Oh,
never
my
done
Atlanta.
That. Oh. Yeah.
I'm telling you what, this is the weirdest darn thing ever.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not judging. I don't know. I've never been to a facility where you, like, I mean.
Where the washrooms are outside.
Oh, yeah. They're just outside. You just, you know, have at it.
Just
but,
have at it.
There was, you know, vendors and stuff. And I was, you know, I
was Pindy's out parked by that by chance?
Yeah, was
it?
Everything was. And, I tell you what, man, it was the oddest thing ever. The urinals, they've got about 25 urinals on the backside of the concession stand, I believe.
Right.
But
there's no walls.
No, you're not in, yeah. You're out in the element.
Yeah, really.
And, I mean, I'll give Quebecers that. They're not shy.
They're not.
No, you're good. You just
yep. You got to have
go.
A whiz. There you go, right
yep,
there.
Yep, it's... You know, it was incredible.
Incredible.
I mean, anybody with stage fright, don't go there expecting to get some privacy.
Yeah.
You ain't getting any.
Yeah. Incredible.
But no, it's cool. I just found it kind of interesting, and I'm not gonna lie, all the other spotters did too.
The APC series was on racetrack.
Yeah,
they were at Delaware Speedway.
Looked like quite the race.
I watched the recap. If you haven't watched the recap, if you missed the race and didn't see the recap, go to our Twitter or go to APC and have a look at it. You got to watch recap because it looked like quite a race.
Yeah.
Brandon did it again.
Yep. Yeah,
he came from the back and did it again.
Yep. Well, it started up front and ended up having a problem and got turned around and ended up driving right back up through the field and taking the win again. And
good on
know,
him.
Great job by the 9 team. And you know, they've had their difficulties this year. And you know, that team is so strong. You could throw whatever you wanted at them. And they're going to turn it around and get back into victory lane. It seems right now they've got so much momentum and he's just so on it. And Brandon Watson is a wheelman.
Yeah.
And I think everybody would also, kind of point at Jake Sheridan. Sheridan went out there and finished P2 at Delaware Speedway.
Good for him.
And it's so cool to see a Sheridan in a 52 car at Delaware Speedway and doing good. And
yeah.
And the guy, you know, drove right up through the field and, finished second and hats off to them. And then as well, kind of got to put a spotlight on Jordan Sims. Jordan Sims, I believe is his name, the 47 car from Sault Ste. Marie, had a great showing at Delaware and it seemed like J.R. Fitzpatrick and you know, the 52 car had quite the battle side by side for a long time. I watched the stream. Susan Sponga ended up, you know, posting the Facebook Live
right
from the track, and
I watched the one from Flamborough like that.
Oh,
Susan
yeah,
does
yep.
a great job.
Yeah, it does a great job, and
yep.
and you know, they're basically from Cornwall all the way to the, you know, into Quebec and basically to Montreal. We watched the APC race, and
cool.
it was definitely pretty cool. And I don't know how much data I went through, but definitely too much.
You'll get the bill.
I'll get the bill for sure. But it was great to see J.R. Fitzpatrick, you know, and those guys have such a good race. And
the
and
9 moved the 84. Did you see that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
He moved him.
Yep.
Well, and that was J.R., I believe, moved the number 9 when he won at Flamborough Speedway.
Absolutely. Yep. And you know, moving a guy is not a dirty move.
Yeah. No, he didn't wreck him. Didn't turn him.
Yeah.
Just
you move him.
Give him a little
you
beep, beep,
him.
Here I come.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, everybody should take notes on you know, how those two guys raced each other. And really, when you look at it, I mean, you get held up for a couple of laps by a guy. You got to go.
Yeah.
And track position is king. And if you're faster than the guy in front of you, obviously don't turn them, don't wreck them. And you take that risk when you do put the nose to somebody, but you need to do it. It's a part of short track racing. It always will be. The day that it's not a part of short track racing, it will, you know, short track racing will flounder because that's part of the excitement. It is.
You would have missed today's cup race, the finish to it.
Mm-hmm.
You may have seen, no, not
mm-hmm.
yet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, I'll tell you what. Chicagoland, that was some exciting race, some exciting finish.
Really?
Kyle Larson, that guy is just simply amazing on the high side of a racetrack. That's where he was all weekend. He won the Xfinity race. We got a clip with him in just a bit that we're going to roll. But today in the Cup race, he was the guy that was going to get up there. He was going to get the job done. Kyle Busch was up front. And the 42 car kept coming. He got to the high side, and he just switched her, and he was coming. Caught right up to the 18, gave him a little bit of a bump, gave him a little ride, and got Alex right to the high, or Alex, got Kyle right to the high side, crossed him up, tapped the wall, and the 42 car got underneath him. 18 paid him back and put Larson right sideways. Busch goes to victory lane.
Yep.
Unreal. You wait to see the clips from this one, Junior.
Yeah, exciting.
That was a short track race.
At a mile and a half.
Yeah. And you turn around in just moments after the race, the two of them are standing in the garage talking, high-fiving. So they were both good with it.
Yep.
And I honestly didn't think everybody was going to be good with it, but it was something else to see.
Yep. Well, and drivers understand, you know, drivers get it. When you're racing for a win, you know, if you don't get roughed up, you're like, man, why didn't he rough me up? You know, like if you're holding the guy up or if he's faster than you you know, it obviously pisses people off too if you do it the wrong way, but it's all part of the game, man.
Well, let's see what the callers have to say, because we got one on the hotline, and it's our old faithful. We got Kent on the East Coast. What did you think of that finish, Kent? Did you see it?
Yeah, I was just going to get at you and see if that was just a move job or what was it.
Well, to me, I would say that the one move that Kyle did on Busch was a tap. The 18 paying them back was a little bit bigger of a tap.
Retaliation is always a little bit harder. Right?
Absolutely,
it is. It is.
Payback is a certain word.
And seeing the two guys afterwards on the broadcast, seeing them standing in the garage talking and shaking hands and stuff like that, I wonder if that same scenario would have played out had Busch been the one sliding. And it was Larson in victory lane. I don't know if you would have seen the same scenario. Do you think?
No.
Well, just goes to show you that what happens on the track stays on the track. Look at our 17-car pileup 2 weeks ago.
The boys
were still all working. What did you think of that scenario with the boys working during the red flag? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
Because it was on lap one.
Yep.
So So therefore, the penalty is done working under a red flag is going to the tail end of the longest line.
That's right.
But because we hadn't ended up the lap yet, there was no more penalty. You're gonna be back out on track, so
yeah.
You might as well go to work on the cars.
And it was kind of cool that Ken Cunning, the general manager of the tour, laid that out for everybody. Because really, I was looking down on pit road going, wow, there's going to be a pile of penalties handed out here. Because everybody was working on their cars.
Yep. No, when I turned on the race time road during that fiasco just to see what happened, because I was looking the other way to when it actually see who spun the tires. I don't know what happened to Cole there.
Yeah.
He just spun the tires off the start, could not get going. And
yeah. Well, and I do believe they talked about it in the drivers' meeting on the next race, and no more shifting coming to the initial green.
Oh, is that what it was? He missed a shift rather than spinning the tires?
I do believe. Cole's the only one that can answer that, but I do believe that's what it was. He missed
a
shift.
And there was one later in that race, the same thing. And I thought we were going to have a repeat, but
yeah, yeah, it was pretty wild, Kent, wasn't it?
Oh, I never, like I say, you usually expect stuff like that from the sportsman guys, not from the pro stock.
Well, that was the first in 9 years that I've watched this pro stock tour. That was the first time in 9 years I've seen that happen.
Yeah. But I'm glad we didn't lose too many cars, but I just hope that it doesn't start like that in 2 weeks' time. It'd be a shame to during the IWK off the green flag to lose any cars.
I don't think you're not going to see that again. That there was an oddity that I don't believe you're going to see for a long time. Yep. Yeah, I do believe.
So any secrets? I haven't seen an updated entry list. I don't know if Paul's keeping that too under tabs or
how about 38?
Release it when he wants, but I don't know. Is there anybody else coming from Ontario that we can... other than JR and Jason?
That I don't know. Those are the only two names that I have in front of me, but the list is 38 drivers long. The last one I seen, which was last week. So you never know. There could be more added.
Yeah. No, there's been a lot of guys with the last two races at Halifax and then this week at the island there at Oyster Bed. It seems like there's been a lot of guys. I know King hasn't been back on track, but they're trying to get the car set up right.
Yeah. Well, you know they're going to be there for the IWK.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Cash is, and I believe Jeff is in a second car, but I don't know that for sure. I heard rumbling Jeff might be in his own piece, but I don't know.
Well,
never heard.
We had Jeff Foltz on the program after his win down south,
yep.
and Jeff Foltz did tell us on that program that his plan is to bring his car and be in the IWK 250. Now, that was back, what, a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
So who knows?
Corey will be in the second King car, and Jeff will be another car to the entry list.
Yeah, you never know.
It's interesting to see, and all these guys will, some of these guys will travel a long way, but it's interesting when you have that go-or-go-homer scenario.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be off the hook, I guarantee you. And you know what? We still may hear tonight from Kenny Wallace. He is racing down south in a dirt race, but I don't know what the weather situation is, and we're going to try and get him between the heats.
Thanks for sending your heat this way, but we only needed half of it like we got. So we haven't got the high humidity yet, but she was 28 today. So.
Well, you hang in there, brother. If this comes at you, you're going to melt.
We don't want it.
Kent, thanks for the call, buddy.
Talk to you later, guys.
You bet. That's Kent out on the east coast of Canada. Love it when he calls in. Always got his finger, his ear, his eye on this sport.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, he did touch on, you know, something that's pretty cool. If Jeff Foltz brings up his own stuff, you know, Fury Race Cars, and they're having a whale of a time right now in the Xfinity Series, of course, with Kaz Grala, and winning tons of races down south, obviously. obviously in the you know, in the different various late model and super late model divisions, along with modifieds as well. So Fury right now is on a tear, and you know, if he can add that IWK 250 to that list, then it would definitely be a positive for them.
I'll bet you they'd sell even more cars up north of the border, if that's possible.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't doubt. You know, you add your name to the winner's list of the IWK 250, that's huge.
Yeah, most definitely.
It really is.
And, you know, one thing, you can't count out Jeff Foltz. He could be in a wheelbarrow out there. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, they obviously build some really good cars, but that would be definitely pretty cool.
He's come close.
It would be interesting.
He's come close.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear the Xfinity win yesterday by the 42. Got a clip with Kyle Larson. He was in the media center and taking the high line, and here's what Kyle's talking about, is taking that high line. He did it all weekend long. Here's what he had to say after the win yesterday.
I think, I don't know, you can look at any track where you can run inches off the wall, and I'll be faster than anybody. So, you know, once the lap time's dropped off enough around the bottom, I can move up there and, you know, go really fast. You know, it seemed to, you know, I was pretty, I would say for the most part, we were somewhat tight around the bottom, and then I'd move up to the top and I'd be a little freer and could roll the corner a little bit quicker. And then you just have the straightaways that really is where all your lap time comes from, you know, being committed to the throttle a lot sooner. So we're able to just, you know, the long runs paid off for us. And then I think we had a really good green flag stop and was able to gap them even more. And then you just try and cruise the wind, hopefully, you know, hoping no cautions came out. Because restarts are always intense in the Xfinity Series. So, you know, thankfully it didn't happen, and we were able to get the win. So it was nice to finally, you know, I feel like, I don't know if there's other races that I've won that I've dominated like this, but it's, I know I've been leading a lot of races like this, and cautions come out. So it was nice to finally, you know, get the win that we were deserved. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he was bullet quick.
Definitely.
Bullet quick.
Yep.
You didn't see any of that race, did you?
I didn't. No, we, oddly enough, a little bit of it. they had, so up in the top side of the grandstand, they had, you know, a bunch of TVs playing of the Xfinity race. And, you know, we stood there and watched for probably 10 minutes during the, like, right between qualifying. You know, there was a group of us just standing there watching, and it looked like he was doing a whale of a job outside.
Alex Labbe ended up coming home 21st, I do believe, in the Xfinity race. Alex has been in every one of the Xfinity races so far in 2018, and he is going to run the full season. So it's going to be interesting if they get back to some of these tracks a second time. Watch for Alex Labbe. He's building a notebook, he's learning, and he's doing a great job doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think once they get back to some of these short tracks, you know, he had a stellar run going at Bristol, and he also had a stellar run going at Dover earlier on in the season. And you know, when they start heading back to some of these tracks, and then as well heading to, you know, the likes of New Hampshire you know, the road course coming up at Watkins Glen, he'll be fast. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do at Daytona as well. You know, he was sporty down there, you know, in February. I think he's going to go back there with a different outlook and a different car as well.
What's it like, the July race down there in Florida,
hot.
Daytona? What's it like?
Hot.
It's got to be drastically different than...
It's just hot.
Than February.
That's all you can say. It's just so hot and humid and rainy, right? You get rain every you know, two hours, 3 hours down
right
there. So it'll blast you with rain, and, you know, the sun will come back out and just barbecue you.
Right.
DJ K is going to be down there. He's going to be running, you know, at Daytona. DJ Kennington is going to be, you know, strapping into the Gaunt Brothers car again. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Gaunt Brothers. I don't know whether it's going to be Premium or Gaunt Brothers, but he is going to be down there. And we were talking about it this weekend, and he's like, "Well, I may as well get used to this heat." And he's like, "Going to be heading to Daytona and leaking out of every pore."
DJ probably out of everybody this weekend, DJ probably would have been in the best condition for the conditions this weekend, because he's done so many races this year in the Cup Series.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the longer races and stuff like that. He even drove the hauler to the track and then drove it home as well, right? So he's a driver. That's what he does. And it doesn't matter if it's a 20-lap race or a 5,000-lap race. He's going to be there, and he'll be there at the end. He's a strong guy, and you know, he's race car driver strong, right? He's not,
yes.
he's not Jimmy Johnson. He's not riding triathlon and all that stuff. You know, he's
a workhorse.
He's mentally there, exactly.
How did he do in the race?
He did really good, and the car was coming. He was one of those guys, even though his team car was sitting P1, him and his spotter and his team, you know, with Teddy McAllister and his whole group, Doug Thorne and all those guys, you know, they were doing the anti-rain dance, because
right.
He came to life. He started busting off 13-3s and even 13-2s in fifth, you know, coming back through the field. And he was reeling in Cole Powell. Like, I mean, he was stalking him
right.
And when the rain ended up coming down. So, you know, when they threw the yellow for the rain and we all got stopped, Steven came down and he goes, I hope it doesn't rain hard. I hope it doesn't. And I said, I hope it does. So I said, let's flip a coin. But, you know, he had probably, I would say, you know, a top three car towards that point of the race. But it was coming to him so quickly that I think that if we would have, you know, finished it off, he would have been challenging for that win big time. And I firmly believe that the same thing can be said about the 47 as well.
Yeah. The 27, yeah, though, wasn't going to be topped by no 17 car this time around.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know,
I know they're teammates, but I'll tell you, when
they roughed each other up twice.
Did they?
They roughed each other up twice in the race. You know, the 27, you know, they started.
Did DJ get in the way? Is that what Andrew did?
No, Andrew was in the way,
and
DJ moved him up the hill a little bit and got under him. And then DJ started taking the line away from Andrew up top, because he seen him making so much hay, and you know, in the top lane, and you know, Ranger then you know, basically moved him out of the way and took it back. So it was pretty comical, and they had a great short track race with each other. But it was just a great weekend overall for DJK.
Well, that's what it's all about right there. Everybody having a good time. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, phone line's still open. We got a few more minutes before we grab Tim Tolton and talk to him about his first Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series win. Huge day for Tim just a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to talk to him about it. Those guys have been working real hard with the three team, and for them to hit victory lane is huge, and we want to get Timmy on this show. So we're going to hit this break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Oui, bonjour, Bruno Gaillette, gazman de la voiture numéro 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win. Saturday, July 14th, it's Canada's ultimate short track race, the IWK 250. Live from Riverside International Speedway, Antigonish, Nova Scotia, featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour, with special guest, NASCAR driver and Fox broadcaster Kenny Wallace.
Track is awesome. It's a lot like a Bristol. Here I come. I'm ready to go. The stars have aligned, and I'll be riding home on the highway.
And Ontario Invaders, J.R. Fitzpatrick, and Jason Hathaway. Live coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, July 14th. It's the IWK 250. It's all live, worldwide, on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
SiriusXM has a commercial-free music channel for when you are ready to proudly fly your freak flag.
We're getting loud and crazy. Crazy on Aussie's Boneyard.
It's hard and heavy classic rock, officially sanctioned by the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
I can't believe I've got my own channel, man.
Get your AC/DC, Priest, Zeppelin, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen. Oh, and of course, Ozzy.
Ozzy's Boneyard. SiriusXM 38.
Also available online and on the SiriusXM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things big racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left right up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the right leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
SiriusXM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. If you're tuned in on SiriusXM Channel 167, hello to you. Hope you had a great long weekend. Still one more day tomorrow. And remember, there's going to be traffic. Take your time, man. Take your time. You'll get home, and you still got lots of holidays, lots of long weekends, and summer's really just getting activated now and getting kicked in. So do drive carefully, and do keep it tuned to SiriusXM Channel 167. Love having you here on this channel. We got some great programming. And here at Racetime Radio, we are proud to be part of Canada Talks. Or you could be tuned in on the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com or maybe Gearhead Country Radio. Or maybe you tune in on demand and you've tuned in through iTunes because we're free on iTunes now. You can get there and download and subscribe and all that kind of cool stuff and never miss Racetime Radio again. But I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Jr. here in the studio tonight. Jr., fresh back from Quebec, spotted for Andrew Ranger, and went to Victory Lane. What was that like?
It was fun. Well, to be honest with you, it was a little bit awkward because it was, you know, rain shortened, and everybody pulled into the pits, which is off the racetrack. It's not in the infield. You know, when they made it official, then we got a chance to fire the car up and drive it down, you know, to Victory Lane. Yep. They set up Victory Lane, and you know, it's not as exciting as crossing the line as the winner and you know, beating a guy to the line or anything like that.
But it gave you time as a spotter to get down to where the car is, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was, you know, when they kept us up in the stand for quite a while, and you know, when they announced that it was done, I walked down, and that's when they fired the car up, and they drove it down to Victory Lane. So I walked down the front stretch and got to hang out with the guys. Sometimes it doesn't get to happen.
No.
So, it was kind of cool to be there in Victory Lane and you know, kind of have fun with the boys. We did, you know, I brought home some confetti from
did
the car.
Yeah, cool.
I got a handful of confetti off the car and went from there.
Good for you.
It's
good
fun.
For you. Gotta love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, that's right. Whitey.
How's he making out with his new business?
Awesome.
Whitey is, he opened a new building business, race car building business.
Yep.
At the all beginning
forms.
Of the year.
Yeah, it's not just a chassis builder, it's all forms, finish fab. You know, they've got a massive parts distribution system in place, and WMI, White Motorsports Incorporated, and they're killing it right now.
Good.
And
good deal.
They're doing some really cool stuff in the shop. You know, he's working with Rick Verburn, who is also a team member on the 27 car, but a customer of WMI. You know, he races super stocks over at Delaware Speedway. So Whitey's been busy with that. And you know, his hair's on fire. He's a new dad.
yeah.
Man, he's he's getting pulled in 50 million different directions.
He's getting a roll.
But the neat part is they all lead to victory lane.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the neat part. You know, Rick is lighting the lamp and in super stocks. And, of course, DJ and Ranger have had a great season thus far in the Pinty series and his other customers as well.
What Whitey's got to do is he has to get some involvement with one of those pro stocks on the east coast of Canada and get a horse in the IWK 250.
Well, I think they're in the process right now of he created his own jig and a late model jig. He's going to by the sounds of it, the you know, initial stages of fab is already in place on a brand new straight rail WMI design chassis.
Really?
So that's pretty interesting. Obviously, you know, he built DJ's car this year and that is a WMI chassis. So he's already, you know, proven that he can put a car, you know, fast and top of the charts and in Pinty's. So you know, it'll be really neat. I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do if you know, when they get into the late model side of things. Obviously he's got a depth of resources there and I don't know who's going to be the driver of it. I don't want to spill any beans, but they've got a good thing rolling.
I don't know how they'd be able to balance all these things and keep all those balls in the air.
They've got a great group of guys. That's the neat part. And,
well, isn't that's the way life is, right? It's all about the people.
Yeah, surrounding yourself with the right people. You know, when you look at DJ, DJ is so you know, involved with the team. He's not just the driver and owner,
right?
You know, he's just as much his own crew chief as Ted is. You know, and they work so well together. The neat part with DJK Racing is usually you see you know, teams and that team only works on their car.
Right.
So like if you look at Cup and you look at multi-team cars and or multi-car teams in Cup and Xfinity Truck Series, the 88 bunch in Cup only look at the 88 car and they only work on the 88 car, and they take information from everybody else, but and they give information to everybody else on the team, but they don't work on it. Right. The neat part at the racetrack with DJK, you know, our front end guy will go over and help the 17 get ready, you know, for practice. And our scale guy will, from the 2017, will work on the 17 scales and set them up. And, you know, it's one big team with two or three cars at the racetrack. And
until the green flag comes out.
Well, yeah, until the green flag comes out, for sure. Like they're two completely separate teams when the green flag drops.
And everybody wants to win.
Yeah. Yeah, but great relationship with the, you know, team to team, and they share information 100%, and you couldn't get two more different drivers either.
No.
When you look at Andrew Ranger and DJK, there's nothing the same about either one of them, and other than their passion for winning. They want to win. But, you know, I think that brings out a certain amount of creativity that would be very hard to replicate with two similar drivers.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they come up with some really weird setups and they're not afraid to try things and learn, right? It's all about learning. If you think you know everything, then you're getting left behind. So, it's looking at DJK and the Pinty series, you know, as a whole, all the teams are very different and how they run and how they operate. Dumoulin right now has got a presence like no other in the Pinty series. The JF and LP, they're investing in that team. And you know, when you roll into, it doesn't matter what track, you see, you know, hospitality booths and you see tons of different things happening at the track. There's a lot of creativity coming out of the Pinty series right now.
Yeah, there sure is. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. But what do you say we get back to the hotline and let's welcome in a guy that won his first Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup race just a couple of weeks ago, but we got him tonight. We got Tim Tolton, driver of the number 3 in that Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup with us. Timmy, how you doing, man? How you doing, Tim? You with us? Hello, Tim?
Tim, can you hear us?
Yes, hello.
Hey, Tim.
Hi.
Welcome to Racetime Radio as a winner.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, good stuff, Tim. Can you hear me? No, he can't. So it's my mic.
You can't hear. So Joe is trying to talk to you, and apparently you can't hear him. So I'm going to interview you. okay. How's everything going, Tim? You're fresh off a win, and obviously you picked up a decent run at Flamborough Speedway. But 2 weeks ago you went to Victory Lane. That's got to be a huge monkey off your back. You've been digging for a long time.
It's been such a long time coming, and it's given the team just a huge boost. Last night at Flamborough wasn't so good, but you got to take the good and the bad.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tim, you've been digging. How many years have you been in the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series? It's been quite a few now, but your racing career, you've raced for a very long time.
Yeah, this is my 35th season.
35th season in a stock car.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a big deal, but unfortunately I kind of backed down this year in my racing. And I'm still involved, but not doing as much racing myself.
I gotcha. So you've been running, for a number of seasons in the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series. Take us back to the win and kind of take us through the last few laps of getting there, getting to Victory Lane.
Oh, yeah, it took a long time to become reality. I couldn't believe that it actually finally happened. We've come close. We've tried hard. We've done everything that we could, and it just luck usually didn't play in our favor. It took a few days before it finally set in. Hey, we finally did it.
Absolutely.
We can do this.
For sure, 100%. Full Throttle Speedway is a place where you've turned a tremendous amount of laps. Back even into the early days of Varney Motor Speedway, you've been a staple at that racetrack for a long time. Is that your biggest win at Full Throttle?
Yeah, absolutely. It's my biggest win. We had one win that we kind of cherished when we went to Peterborough Speedway. Called that our home track for a season, and we made one trip back to Varney and had to start at the rear and ended up winning it. That was our previous biggest win, but this is our first ever touring series win.
Absolutely.
Tim, you've been close a number of times. Let me try this again and see if you're getting me. I don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't think he is, because you see, so Dad's trying to talk to you, and his mic just, it won't transfer over to the box, so I have no idea why, but this humidity plays havoc with all electronics. but looking at the overall landscape of the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series, the competitors that you guys race against is growing every single year on the talent side and the resources side. Why did it take you so long to get to Victory Lane? And that's not a bad thing to ask. Why did it take you so long to get there? What was the thing holding you back, and did you find something in the car? That's what I mean.
We were asking ourselves all the time, why is it taking us so long to get this done? We didn't always run good, but we run good quite often, but never seemed to be able to make it to the end.
I got
the
you.
Extended races. There was always something that was failing us. We were putting effort in, but we just weren't getting results.
100%. So last night at Flamborough Speedway, take us back to that race as well, because we're talking about 2 weeks ago. Take us back to Flamborough Speedway last night. How did everything look over there? Obviously, I wasn't there. I didn't get a chance to take it in. But give the fans a little bit of an overlook of what happened at Flamborough Speedway.
Well, it wasn't a great night for us. We got into an accident early in the race. And had a car drive right over top of our hood.
Oof.
Which ended up pinching a rad hose. So we went back out without the front end, and because of the pinched rad hose, it ended up overheating, and the rad hose exploded, and that took us out of the first first race. We ran 250 laps.
Gotcha.
And we got it all fixed up for the second race, and basically running a modified, an open wheel.
All pro mod.
Yeah. And we were moving up. We started way at the back because we didn't do so good in the first one. And we were moving up and making a pass for the fourth position, and made contact with another car, and it just ended our day and ended the race for the series, actually.
Gotcha. Well, Tim, congratulations on the win. You can't say that enough. I was pumped when I read that you won. It was definitely cool. I've always been a fan of yours, and you're definitely an exciting guy behind the wheel. And obviously, it takes a lot to get there. Who's the sponsors on the side of the car? Who do you got to thank for everything that you guys do?
Oh, I got to thank Bond and Products. Engines from Howell, the crew who stands behind me through all the bad times, and I'm not always the happiest guy in the world, and they put up with me. I got to thank them for their dedication and their hard work, and that's what got us to where we were.
That's awesome. That's wicked, and a great story, definitely a happy moment in the season, and looking for many more. I hear that you're a tech official now, too. Is that correct?
Well, I'll do anything to be involved in motorsports.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I cut back on my racing for this year, so I accepted a position at Full Throttle Speedway as the head tech inspector. They do without me on the nights that I'm busy, I'm happy to be involved in racing on the nights that I don't have something to drive.
Now, I, as a racer, jumping over to the tech side, I imagine you've yelled at a tech official or two at some point. What's it like being on the other side of the table?
Well, many say that I should know what I'm looking for because I've seen a lot of it.
Absolutely.
Maybe done some of it. I'm not going to say for sure. But yeah, it definitely helps having that much experience in racing, how many years I've been doing it. It helps. It's still a tough job.
100%.
And not always an enjoyable job, but the guys that I've been teching have been very cooperative.
Good. That's good to hear. Well, Tim, congratulations. Thanks very much for joining us. Sorry that Dad can't talk to you. He's sitting over here just staring at his screen right now, but he can't seem to talk to you. We'll get you on another time, and he'll ask you a bunch of questions, I'm sure.
Okay. Thank you very much for the time.
Thanks very much, Tim.
You bet. That's Tim Tolton, driver of the number 3. He's in the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series. And I don't know what's going on, but there again, I'm having trouble with this. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll get it fixed up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You say, the humidity is playing havoc with everything.
Oh, 100%. All electronics. They even had trouble with the scoring in the Pinty series.
I seen that. They had to go red to sort out a scoring thing.
Yeah, and then so the red kind of happened. It was raining at the time.
It
started spitting. So everybody initially thought that it was for the rain, but it wasn't like wet yet.
Right.
And, you know, everybody was, you know, wondering what's this for? And then they announced it, you know, over the PA system and through to the spotters, and, you know, it happens, and good on them for hitting the pause button, you know,
you're better to do that.
100%. And sure, it causes a restart, but, you know, it happens. Electronics definitely fail, and good on NASCAR for doing the right thing and hitting the pause button. And you know, it's tough that the rain came down at the same time, but it definitely saved them. If they were having scoring troubles, then you know, the rain kind of saved them there. But it probably is the same reason why there was scoring issues, and that's because of the moisture and humidity. But definitely a cool weekend, I'm so pumped for Tim Tolton.
Isn't that cool?
That is awesome. He's been a staple. You know, at short tracks all across Ontario for a long time, from everything, you know, in a four-cylinder to, you know, a modified to a late model, even super late model, and he's been behind the wheel. He's an iron man himself.
Yeah, he sure is, and good to see him have a win. We're going to hit our final break of the show. We're going to do that right now, and we still got lots more for you on the other side of the break. Stay with us here tonight live on Racetime Radio.
Hey, it's Robbie Gordon from Speed Energy and Stadium Super Trucks here in Canada, and you're listening to Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM. Channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you in part by Holiday Inn Express, New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew for the IWK 250.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win. Saturday, July 14th. It's Canada's ultimate short track race, the IWK 250. Live from Riverside International Speedway, Natchitoches, Nova Scotia, featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour, with special guest, NASCAR driver and Fox broadcaster Kenny Wallace.
Track is awesome. It's a lot like a Bristol. Here I come. I'm ready to go. The stars have aligned, and I'll be riding home on the highway.
And Ontario Invaders, J.R. Fitzpatrick and Jason Hathaway. Live coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, July 14th. It's the IWK 250. It's all live, worldwide, on racetimeradio.com. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, ensuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
On Sirius 167.
Canada Talks.
Baseball. Baseball. Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody, and happy Canada Day weekend. It's 151 years old, and we're still kicking. How about that? Pretty proud to be Canadian today, Junior.
Absolutely. And patriotic and waving the Canadian flags. And I've seen more pickup trucks with Canadian flags hanging out the back of them than I've ever seen on the way back from Quebec to Ontario. We've seen lots of them. And we even commented on it, you know, as a group, like, wow.
Well, it's you missed the Canada Day parade here.
Yes.
At the
Oakersley
lake.
Family always does. Yeah. They drive around and
I posted it on our Facebook page. Did you see it?
Oh, I seen it leading up to it. Yep. Yeah. And that's totally cool.
Yeah, you want to believe
it. But, I've got to give a shout out to Jeff Gottlieb. He's listening in.
Is he?
But he's on his way home. He's not quite home yet. He's got further to go because he's got to go all the way over to Chatham. But give a big shout out to him.
Yeah.
The big guy that he is.
Yeah.
Yep. But one guy that we got to give a big shout out to, and I haven't talked enough about him in this program, is Cole Powell. Man,
Cole,
the guy is getting the job done in the Penny series.
He, you know what? He fits the series like a glove, I'll bet.
He does. And
I can't wait to watch him.
You know,
he's
got a presence at the racetrack. You know, he's a personality. He's got personality. He gives a good interview. He wheels the hell out of a race car. You know, I talked to him today, just at one of the en route truck stops on the way home. We're all on our way back, and we got talking just about the season and how it's going for him so far, and he's pretty happy, with everything.
I'm glad to hear that.
But he's doing a really good job, behind the wheel. He's not making enemies, and he's gaining a lot of respect from a lot of guys. It'll be interesting. He said, he got some laps in the simulator on iRacing for Mossport, but of course you don't have that for the Toronto, streets of Toronto Honda Indy. So he said, if we can get through there with a decent finish, then he's pumped to get out west the remaining portion of the season is really a majority of ovals, right? You've only got a couple more road courses to go after this one in Toronto. You've got Trois-Rivières and Mossport, after this, but the rest are all ovals.
No ICAR this year.
They wanted a different date, I guess, from what I understand.
Probably like it's a real tight from a road course perspective. It's a real tight one.
It is. It's really tight, but it's really cool. It's a short track version of a road course. So the racing, it's still high speed because there's quite long straightaways there.
Right.
It's a very technical road course, but it's a road course where there's probably about 9 passing zones on ICAR.
Oh, that's not bad.
Where you've only got one or two at Mossport or really even in the streets of Toronto or Trois-Rivières, you've only got 2 or 3 passing zones. Where you can really make a big move. At ICAR, you can make a big move just about in every corner just because they're heavy braking zones with wide exits. So ICAR was a very exciting race every time they rolled in there, and they had a great crowd every time, and I think you'll see them back on the schedule. They, of course, a bulk of their business is with corporations and things like that.
Right.
They wanted a schedule change and they couldn't provide that this
couldn't
year.
Do it.
So, yep. I think that you'll see ICAR back on the schedule and rumor has it, we spoke to a lot of people, at the racetrack this weekend and one name continually popped up in conversation amongst the garage area is that Area 27.
Out
in BC. They really want a race.
That's a world-class facility,
World-class facility, for sure. And it's, of course, designed by Jacques Villeneuve and
Trevor Siebert.
Trevor Siebert and Riley and all the group over there did a majority of the work. And they've got their own similar Pinty series that they've started at the facility where they're racing cars that are very similar to a Pinty's car. They've got a different wing structure and they've got different brakes on them, but the cars are basically Pinty's cars, that race there.
Isn't that a cool idea now if they do get a race?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You take the 10, 12, 14 guys from Ontario
just
market.
Just like the CASCAR days, right?
Right. Well, throw them out there.
They're not identical. I don't know if you could do that even. They're not the same as a Pinty's car. They look like them.
That's what more places need to do. I know back when I spoke with Mike James out at Eastbound International Speedway a couple of years ago, those guys were real hot to get a Pinty's race out there on the rock.
Yep.
And I said, Mike, you guys are new, so what you should do is start a division here at the racetrack and make those cars just like the Pinty series.
Oh, man.
Make them just like it.
Yeah.
And then when you have a Pinty's race, these guys can jump in.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the Pinty's car has evolved so much now. And they are a high dollar piece of equipment.
Junior, something's got to happen. Something has to happen.
I realize that when you look at how the CASCAR Sportsman Series and the CASCAR Super Series, and then as well the CASCAR Western Series worked hand in hand.
It used to be because
they had the same cars on the West and the East Coast.
Yeah.
And then they combined into a Super Series.
Now you've got 30, 40 cars instead of 14 or 16.
Correct.
Or 18.
But those cars were worth $20,000.
Yeah.
You know, back then, where a Pinty's car today, you know, to build a new Pinty's car, it costs you all of $110,000 to make a car.
Well, that's too much money.
Exactly.
Okay, bring the price of that down. Come on, we got to really, really think about this. Bring the price of that down, get more of them, and presto.
Yeah.
You got something to work with.
100%.
But if there is no farm system, I'm telling you what, with the day when DJ... and Andrew and LP and all these guys retire, what happens then?
I know. You're
presto.
You're running into a weird scenario for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But
I don't know.
You know, when you look at it, the car has evolved and morphed into a high-dollar piece of equipment with low-dollar parts.
That can't run anywhere else,
exactly.
Or do anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't take it and put it into the K&N race.
No, you can't.
You can't take it and put it into ARCA.
Nope.
Can't take one of those and put it into Canada.
Yep. Anywhere
so,
else.
So, like something. Somebody's got to really, really think about this.
Yeah, but the
and look you're, down you're the road. Caught, you got to build.
You're caught in a scenario where, you know, one of them has to change, and either way, it costs a tremendous amount of money. And really, the farm system, when you look at it, is the Pro Stock Tour and the APC Tour here in Canada right now. And as well, on the Quebec side, they've got, you know, quite the farm system over there.
And just why don't we take, for our national series, and take the APC rules and take the Pro Stock rules and have a meeting and say, okay, guys, in the East Coast and here in the middle of the country, and how about you guys on the West Coast? Let's build these kind of cars. We'll have this type of rule. And you know what? 2 or 3 years from now, our Canadian National Series will be out of space. It'll be just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we're looking at a different scenario unless stuff changes.
Exactly. You're caught between a rock and a hard place. And I don't believe that a late model touring series could sustain the Western, or not the Western, the national stage. You need a car that's a big stock car to be on the national side.
Why?
I think.
To run it on a quarter mile track in Edmonton?
To run it
at Wynette Group Speedway?
Yeah, it's just for the national stage, you want it to be a farm system to get to the ultimate of the sport. You want to learn in a big car.
Yeah.
No,
I understand
big,
that.
Big, high-horsepower taxi cab.
I understand that.
But that being said, there's ways
no
to
farm
make it work.
System right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Correct.
They need to have a farm system.
Yeah. Lucas Oil, the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series. Is the closest style of car or a super stock to a Pinty's car. And
we could talk about
this for
hours. And we can't because we only got seconds left
exactly.
in tonight's show.
Yeah. No, for sure. But it would be so cool to see that, you know, that next natural stage of progression. But I don't know. I don't foresee that happening.
Well, something's got to give.
Yep.
Yep. We'll throw ideas out. Why not? but that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight, the Racetime Radio Studio. Got to thank Susie Q here. Got to thank everybody back in Toronto. And got to thank you for tuning in. Enjoy your Canada Day weekend. Sure hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Tell your friends. Tell your friends to tune in.
And Sunday happy 4th
night.
Of July, too.
Oh, happy
4th of
July.
July to all of our American listeners.
Down south. You bet. That's going to do it for us. So have a good one, everybody. We'll catch you next time right here on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384.
We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.